How's it hanging? I'm Deadpool S. Pumpkins. I'm here to scare the hell out of you. It was so bad.
Oh, no.
Oh, my gosh.
And welcome to the last episode of Mousecast ever.
And it's
in the background is facepalming.
Hello, all geek enthusiasts and nerd aficionados. It's Deadpool S. Pumpkins here to welcome you guys to Mousecast. We have on the show, we're going to be talking about CW stuff. And this is definitely not CW stuff here, but we're going to do a catch up because we haven't been able to do any TV talks having to do with the current crop of superhero shows on CW. We're also going to talk about the Nerd Fight poll that is currently going on that will be ending tonight about the best horror franchise. If for any reason you think you can get somebody to beat Nightmare on Elm Street, go ahead and click on the link below.
Call 20 of your closest friends, have them vote real quick.
So, but with that, let's welcome everybody to the show. IC is right next to me, so Mr. Zorro, how's it going?
It's going on. Oh, fantastic, fantastic. Just another day in paradise.
How are you doing, Super?
Not bad. Thank God it's Friday. That's all I got to say.
Yeah, we're going into Halloween weekend, as you can see. We also have Igor joining us on the chat. How's life doing for you, Igor?
Hey, news, buddy. It's all good.
And joining us after missing him a little bit, we have Mr. Beacon
back on.
So getting into it, we always like to talk about what we're geeking out on.
The real Deadpool, by the way. There we go. The real one.
Hey, we do all things nerd here, and this is as nerd as they get.
I'm stuck between a Ledger and a Deadpool here.
So we like to start our segments off with what everybody's geeking out on. In the chat room, definitely let us know what you've been geeking out on recently. We know there's one major thing that a lot of people started geeking out on today, but we'll start with Beacon. What have you been geeking out on, Mr. Beacon?
Honestly, not a lot. My work is super busy at the moment this week, so I haven't had a chance to do a lot of nerding out. I did watch first episode Stranger Things too, so I'm one episode in. Well, so far so awesome, so... Yeah, not much.
So, Super, what have you been geeking out on?
I've been squeezing in this week's CW shows in between being stuck in Jazzercise videos. It's a very strange combination. I've been in a weird place all week.
And
the way you said it just makes it sound entirely voluntary.
Right.
Well, Jack Malice, our producer, is like binging Stranger Things season 2 right now, and he said he almost canceled the podcast so he could keep watching. So
I thought you were going to say he was binging Jazzercise videos.
That would be funny, and that would, yeah.
Yeah, Super's definitely been working on a lot of different Jazzercise videos for a good cause.
For a good cause, and man, when you see it, you're going to laugh. I can just tell you that right now. You are going to laugh.
So, but yeah, back to Igor. What have you been geeking out on, Igor?
Well, a little bit of the usual. Everybody who plays Destiny will get that. Nobody else will, but I love it. And actually, doing my Stranger Things prep as well. Did a season one binge. Not as hard as our lovely producer, but I did my best. Me and Marley Baugh did. Followed it up with watching the video for Find Me. If you don't know why that's a connection, you need to watch the music video. And then capping off the evenings with some Critical Role with Matt Mercer and friends. Because the campaign began and ended with D&D. Thank you very much.
Yeah, there we go. Nice. And there's something about Zumba going on in the chat room.
I said he was binging. I said he was binging Jazzercise videos. He said no. Yeah. a lot more Brazilian girls in tights.
And how about you, Mr. Zorro? What are we geeking out on?
I think I read like 3 books this week. I've been plowing through that series that Superman recommended for me a couple weeks ago, in the In-Death series. So yeah, I've really been enjoying those.
You're still on Vengeance and Death?
I'm on. What's that? Yeah, I'm on Vengeance and Death.
Vengeance and Death. Awesome. That's a good book. Y'all should check it out.
How many
books? Edifying yourself. How could you? How could you?
I need to constantly be feeding information into my brain, so that's a good way to do it.
How many more books are in the series?
A lot.
I don't know, like 20-something.
Oh, there's a mess. Like
7 or 8, and there's a 10 to go.
Yeah, there's at least 40.
Jeez.
It's ridiculous.
Is it all by the same person?
Oh, yes.
All right, Jar Jar Martin needs to take a lesson in book writing right there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And yes, I did say Jar Jar Martin. That's my new nickname for George R.
Well,
I could totally see Game of Thrones with a sassy lady, homicide detective. Be awesome.
I have one to come back to. Sorry, it's been a long week. It's been a long day. I had watched previously a couple episodes of Walking Dead. So I'm actually on season 2, episode like 9 right now. I've watched probably 13 episodes here in the last couple of days. So, I'm rolling on through that. And, I also started the book I was talking about last time I was on, the Star Wars, from
alternate viewpoints.
Yeah, the alternate
from a certain point of view.
From a certain point of view, yeah. And it is freaking fantastic so far. It is really, really cool. Like one story is from a Jawa. You got one from the red astromech droid that almost gets bought by Luke's uncle. You remember that it breaks down and they take R2 instead. So it's from his point of view. You have Guido, and yeah, just a couple other Guido. Yeah, do you know what I mean?
Another cost video
he
right
confirms,
there.
He confirms
Father Guido.
Yeah, Guido. It's really, really good. Highly, highly recommend it.
For me personally, I've been just on mobile games like crazy right lately. And if you guys haven't checked it out, the Stranger Things mobile game is phenomenal. It is retro 80s video game goodness. There's even 2 settings on it. There's normal for people that don't know how to play those old 80s games. And then there's, I think it's just hard or standard. And it's literally like the way they describe it is, if you want to play this, it's 1984 hard. So like the old school, it's Zelda style. It's an awesome, awesome.
Does the Contra code work on it?
Being that it's on mobile, I have no idea because okay.
we're just talking retro 80s games. So I'm just curious.
Yeah, it would have been awesome.
Going on up, down, left, right. There's no E. There's no A.
Speaking of, my younger brother is in town, and he got his hands on the SNES Mini. And so we were actually playing some old school Mario Kart and Street Fighter Turbo the other day.
Nice.
That was
nice.
A little nostalgia.
Well, that's some big news that came out today. The Mario Odyssey just came out finally, so a lot of people are excited about that. I'm sure that's where Big Papa Matt is right now, since he's not inside the chat room talking away. the Nintendo nerd that he is.
There's a very good chance that's what he's doing.
We can't get him back on the cast, but he'll make sure to get his Nintendo games. So,
hey, Mario can finally take one giant leap. Oh, dang it. I forgot the line. Leap over skyscrapers in a single bound. There we go.
Sure.
Well, that's
something else that
I don't feel so bad for my beginning fail as the Deadpool S Pumpkins now.
See, now I'm just pondering him dodging speeding bullets. That would be weird, but interesting.
Yeah, I had to get home today quickly after work so that I could catch up on all the CW shows. After the podcast here, I got to watch Stranger Things. But then sometime this weekend, I'm going to have to go out and get the new Assassin's Creed game because it looks amazing.
There's the thing with the Assassin's Creed game that people were pissed about is the whole able to get items. They're doing it as a purchase, like an extra purchase of real money to get specific items.
It's the Ubisoft system has always been where you can buy little extra garbage stuff with real life money, with Helix points, but that was never anything useful. It was always like, you know, stuff that would be really good up until, you know, lower middle levels or costume sets or something like that. The review that I read said that most of the stuff that you actually need in the game will help you in the game. You just earn normally. You're not going to have to pay any money for that.
Okay. So, because a lot of people, I know it was going crazy for a little while where people were really complaining about this for the first time in Assassin's Creed, where they're like making it so if you want to get specific things, you have to actually spend.
No, they've done that in previous games, but it's always stuff that you don't really need for the game and stuff that's not even really going to help you that much.
They said with Origins it was different from the article I saw on it, but maybe they changed that. So I know another big thing, I don't know if you guys caught it or not, but Hulu released their trailer of The Runaways, which looks very close to the comic in terms of the way that the characters look. At least that's the one thing that I saw that was amazing. Wait,
is it about Jem Jett?
No. No, The Runaways, the comic book. So, which if you guys have not read it, definitely try to check out those trade paperbacks. Try and find them. To one of the best original comic book series that came out there. If you want to, as always, you can go to malice-corp.com and go to the Amazon link on there and purchase your trade paperbacks through that and check out The Runaways. It was a fantastic comic. It's where these kids find out that their parents are heroes, and it turns out that they're actually not heroes. They are supervillains. Hence, running away because they don't want to be any part of it. And the kids themselves start finding items that give them powers as well. So they are making a TV show of it on Hulu. The trailer came out. So definitely look up Runaways trailer on the YouTube search, and that'll pop up. It looks like it's going to be pretty decent. It's a Hulu original show. So
I have to sign for Hulu again.
I have to say, they do seem to have sexied Gert up a little bit, and that bothers me. But at the same time, especially considering they're supposed to be teenagers, but at the same time, I do also have to compliment them on how sexy much I caught from the trailer. That was lifted. That was lifted straight from the comic. It was over 80% of that of that trailer, and I mean not just their looks, but scenes, characters, and little background events too.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I'm intrigued.
So let's get into our main topic before we close out the show with our nerd fight and where everything's at. Like I said before, if you guys want to vote on the nerd fight, go ahead and hit the discussion in the discussions below. There'll be a link for that, and you can click on that. And that'll take you to malice-corp.com, our website. And that's a great website to check out. We will have more articles coming up on there as well. So main topic discussion, CW shows, The Flash, Arrow, Legends of Tomorrow, and this is a really hot mask.
I didn't be wearing it this long.
So hot.
Because I'm dedicated. So yeah, we usually have what's called Malice Cast TV Talks, where we go over the shows that we watch and we love, and we love to sit back and watch them and talk about them with you guys. The only one that we've currently had for CW is Supernatural, which is every single Thursday on... every Thursday here on the YouTube channel. So make sure you guys come for that live to check that out. And let's get into talking about the shows. Let's start with Arrow. So how we super you're all caught up on Arrow. So what did you think about the premiere episode of Arrow?
There were some good points and there were some bad points. I liked the way that they did the flashbacks going back and seeing how everything played out. However, it seemed like everyone got off too easy. I mean,
yeah,
everyone makes it off essentially, but the mom, I mean, and Thea's in a coma. I understand that. But I mean, it felt like there was no
drama.
There was no, yeah, like it just, I don't know. And then you had the issues with Quentin again, and you know, now he's all torn up because he killed not even his daughter. And I'm like, dude, like, just get over it. That's not your daughter. She's not a good person. Like, even if you had shot her, quit crying about it.
Well, when you've already had one daughter come back, literally come back from the dead.
Yeah.
I mean, I understand why he's in the space he's in, but I 100% agree with you. And we're going to get to Flash in a moment. Flash has the same damn problem that you leave this monstrous cliffhanger and then you mm-hmm. freaking resolve it within like the first, not even like the first third of the show.
It's just, hey, everybody's back.
Yeah.
Right. Right. It's freaking stupid. Like, why can't we, I don't know. Like Flash, I said, was way worse in its opening, but for Arrow, it's like, yeah, you're just thrown into this. Oh yeah, everybody's cool, and then we're just gonna flash back and show you what happened on the island, and somehow we can all get into a plane and not freaking blow up. How stupid is that?
Yeah,
the whole island goes up in a mushroom cloud, and you're sitting in the hole of a plane and somehow survive that.
Yeah,
go, like I said, I felt like I missed an episode. I felt like there was a lot of stuff where, like, wait, shouldn't we have seen?
But, and yet,
that was disappointing.
Riddle me this, Batman. The mom that dies of the son, she's suddenly just like, she like literally had like no wounds on her, nothing. You didn't see anything. And she's running through the woods to die epically in his arms. I'm like, what is that?
Like, I have to be a plotinist now. Bye.
Yeah, like.
I have to be another reason Oliver blames himself for everything.
So Zorro, you would have preferred that they did a little bit more drag out on the episode.
I think there should have been an entire episode of them struggling through the wreckage of the island to get back to safety before picking back up in the city.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just
and I guess we could get that with the way that they like to do this show with flashbacks, and we are completely caught up on Oliver's backstory. They could mm-hmm. continue to do that throughout the season. It's just, I don't know.
Flashbacks after a certain point in any story break immersion really hard, though.
It depends on the series, though. I mean, look at Alias. Alias, the entire time it was on the air, was flashbacks every season, single season. So
I can't see Stephen Allen in another terrible wig.
One thing. Even though I'm one of those conscientious objectors who says, man, the comics are better, I do have to give the show consistently this. They're more consistently respectful to the damn character of Speedy. Good old Roy has had a very, 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 very bad time in the comics. And I don't mean in the sense of continuity. I mean in the sense of editorial and writers. Why? Just why? So I'm glad that he's not getting a...
Well, he's not in it, so that helps.
An utter, yeah. Well, no, he's there. Look for the guy in the red suit. That's how they change the characters around.
Really quickly, I want to welcome Beth and Marley Baugh to the chat room as well. So
hello.
They're talking about some beard talk inside there. So.
No issues there.
As always goes with the chat room, not everything stays to what we're talking about. Sometimes it's very Nicolas Cagey. It goes off into different rants.
Ra's al Ghul has a fantastic beard, thus podcast.
Wow. So, so I know when the season ended on Arrow, there was a lot of complaints too on the season ending with the cliffhanger and stuff. So, oh. Was it a better pickup than it was an end for last season, or
no. Think it's worse? The end was good. The end was fine. Yeah, you blow everything up. That's fine. It's how you resolve and how you move forward from that. That's the problem. The other issue I have is that when are we going to mention Malcolm Merlyn? Like,
Pete?
the dude allegedly sacrificed himself to save his daughter and gets absolutely zero freaking mention.
Right? Nothing. Not even, yeah, not one name, nothing. It's like they're just hoping fans will forget about him and not bring it up.
Until they figure out Barrowman's contract, and then they bring him back. So
what's the thing? Well, you mentioned the go ahead, Zorro. Sorry.
You mentioned the way that the show shoots and likes to kind of skip around in time a little bit. We three episodes in, we haven't seen Thea except for the fact that she's in coma. So maybe whenever she comes out of her coma, that'll be something that they can jump back to.
Yeah, that's possible. Because I mean, she is the link to him.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, what was I going to say? I can't remember now.
Well, if I may, I swear I'm a conscientious objector, but I do have to compliment the show again for the changes they made to the characters versus the comics. Because Malcolm Merlyn was fun in the comics, but you want to know all he was in the comics? He was a really good archer named Merlyn the Magician, mm-hmm. who inspired Green Arrow. And then disappeared for a while and was seen again as, oh, by the way, I'm with the League of Assassins now. I'm going to kill you.
Right.
That was about it. And look at everything that they pumped into him in the show. It's actually really cool. So I do have to give them that as well.
Now I remember what I was going to say. So they have now said that there are openings there to bring Merlyn back, that he's not 100% gone. They have set up things to potentially bring him back.
Well, yeah, he died off screen.
Yeah, he died off screen. Yeah.
But so consensus, good start, bad start. Seems like everybody's saying bad start
it's
so far.
Bad start, but it's getting better. I will say that. It's getting better.
I don't know. And you know I'm a big Arrow fan, so I'm whole, yeah. I got to watch this week, so I'm one episode behind, but so far I'm struggling.
If you remember where week two left off, it picks up there, and it's okay.
But yeah, it's brought up in the chat room. What if they're planning to kill Thea?
I don't know. Her contract is up in the air, same as John Barrowman's was, and that's, I don't think that's on the show. I think that's on her. It's the actress that's kind of being wishy-washy about what she wants to do. So. You know, it's kind of the ball's in her court at this point on whether or not she wants to return.
You guys think it's an epic, it would be an epic loss to the show, or just really wouldn't matter at this point?
There's so many frig characters on the show right now. We could stand to lose a few of them, but I would like Thea back.
I would prefer to have Thea back because I thought she played well off the others more than a couple of
others. I'd
rather
have her than Madog.
Yeah.
No, I'm okay with him though. I was hoping where they were going with this Oliver being like exposed as the Green Arrow. I was actually hoping that they were going to continue down that plot line, which is, if Igor can correct me if I'm wrong, but as comic book nerds know, that eventually happens, and then everybody knows who he is, and he just goes on and does his thing, and he's Green Arrow. I mean.
And becomes the governor.
Yeah, so it still happens, but it's just everybody realizes, well, yeah, he's kind of a badass, and mm-hmm. it's no big deal. Like, they go on with their lives, but and maybe that will happen with this whole FBI investigation. It's just, it's a weird, I don't know, it's a weird start to the season.
Yeah, and sometimes that's, once you get into deeper into seasons, it you're trying to find stuff to do that mm-hmm. Doesn't always start off great when you have a show that's been on the air for multiple seasons that you're trying to.
Because The Simpsons has already done all of it.
Yeah. There it is.
Yeah.
But I do. This season has potential to be good. So hopefully it'll keep picking up steam and just keep rolling on forward. But it was a rough start.
Yeah. Is it just me or do I feel like every year with Arrow? People complain at the beginning that it's like the show is starting it's starting to go downhill and then it starts picking back up.
But then it might just be the way that they introduce it. It could just be that they're just not very good at those things, but the more you watch it, the better it gets. Cause I've always said Arrow is a show that's better when you binge watch it.
Yeah. Cause that's how I watched it. And I didn't see anything
That's true. Except for season four, which is just freaking garbage.
I think Mest is right, because honestly, I watch about half of it, because I will call most all of the episodes just okay. But every time I hear people talking about it, new season's like, I don't know about that opening, all the way on down to, oh, that opening sucked. And then mid-season to end of season, oh, that's pretty cool. Mm-hmm. So I think you've got something there.
Yeah, it's just it's what I hear every single season, myself personally. But moving on to the other big show of the CW that spun off of Arrow first, we have The Flash, mm-hmm. Representing with the Flash hat, Beacon.
Are you gonna go?
I'll let you go, Beacon. Go ahead
and I'm gonna speak for Jack Malice as well. And I'm gonna rant for just a quick moment. Sorry, I'm freaking sick and tired of this show bailing Barry out in the first freaking episode of the new season. It happened in season one when he creates the split. And then, boom, it gets resolved in the very next episode of season two. End of season two, he obviously, what was the end of season two? Anyway, issue in season two. The Flashpoint. And then, boom, it's resolved in the first episode of the next season. Season three, he walks into the Speed Force. Boom, it's resolved the next season. Can you at least give me three episodes? Three episodes of Kid Flash and Jesse Quick and the rest of the team who are amazing, and give us some of their stories instead of just bailing Barry out. And then, because we got to get back to the Barry Allen. And I know he's the Flash, but come on, people. I'm tired of this crap. They killed off for three episodes.
Yeah, I do have to agree with you, though. I don't think Flashpoint was resolved in the first episode. I mean, I know he put it back together, but he was dealing with the consequences of that from every episode, so he wasn't bailed out. I mean, his teammates were angry with him, everyone was angry at him, you know, he broke everything, and he had to learn how to deal with that and adjust. So I will agree with everything else except for that one.
I think you're both right, because on the one hand, that's one of the strong points, is pulling up the back and forth and the tension between the people. But yeah, it's like the event itself. It's like the event itself is just kind of immediately swept under the rug. And now it's, man, I'm really upset about it. Well, I don't think that's fair. Well, screw you. And, you know, it's done a little better. That part's done a little better. But where did the literally world-changing event go? Wasn't it here a moment ago? Mm-hmm. Come on.
And we
give it some weight.
We may still get some fallout from that, from the Speed Force, depending on how well Cisco's little thingamajiggy he sent in there works. And I'm still hoping for some flashbacks. I would love to see some flashbacks of the weird behavior and the crazy writing. I want that resolved, because I know that's going to mean something, because everything that they do has a purpose. It's just they don't always bring it around right away. So I'm really hoping they go somewhere with that crazy writing he was doing on the wall.
Yeah. And then that's exactly what Jack is saying in the chat channel as well, is that they premiere with all that weirdness, that beautiful, like as Cisco calls him, you got that beautiful mind moment where he's just writing gibberish everywhere, and then it doesn't mean anything. It means like Jack Malice loves tacos, you know.
Jack is going off in the chat room right now. Hell on the mountain, brother. Preach on, brother. Can I get an amen?
Yeah, and the other thing I really am not digging is the Iris and Barry relationship that's happening right now, and the angst that's going on between the two of them. To me, it's completely needless drama that shouldn't be happening. These two are best friends. They've been best friends since they were, whatever, 10 years old, 11 years old. They've lived together. They've been basically brother and sister, fall in love. Like, there's not this moment of, you left me, Barry. Oh my gosh, you left me. Like, please. Like,
but once again,
Iris is such a stronger character than that.
But you do realize, once again, we are on the CW.
I do. Yeah, I think you're a way more charitable human being than the rest of us are, Mr. Beacon.
They got great shows, but that's their bread and butter. To everybody that was watching, thinking that Icy Zorro was staring super intently at our conversation, he froze. So he will be back. He did mention that he hated the Love Conquers All thing. So
I don't mind when it uses it once or twice, but if they're going to use that as a way of him conquering everything, that's going to get old really fast. Because I'm sorry, it doesn't work that way.
That's the whole focus. That's the whole focus they have to do for this season, because their whole big thing for this season is to get to the wedding episode, to get to the, you know, that's the
crossover episode, which is, I believe, coming up in November sometime. So I'm excited about that. Personally, though, about the Flash is most definitely getting better from its inaugural or its premiere. This week's episode was brilliant. Bringing back Harrison Wells. Oh, yes. Brilliant.
God, I love Tom Cavanaugh so freaking much.
Tom Cavanaugh killed it. The, you know, line of the night, you know, just complaining about how he built the team for Jesse, just like he did for Barry. And then he gets kicked off the team because he's too harsh. And, you know, he didn't allow enough bonding time, and he doesn't understand millennials. And, you know, yes, and he's,
I don't understand millennials.
Crying to Cisco. And I miss him and Cisco. I miss that bond. So they need to bring that back. I hope he sticks around for a while.
See, as much as that's what one of the things I love the most about the show, just from beginning to now, is Tom Cavanaugh. Because even though there is, I will absolutely say until the day I die, that these seasons so far give us so much in the way of romantic relationships being, I like him. Oh, I like her. I don't know. Do I like her? Do I like him? You are in your 30s. Shut up. The rest of the time, the writing as well as the acting, because that's no slam on the act. On the acting, as well as the acting, is great for what they're trying to set up as a whole. However, Tom Cavanaugh, the guy who has the background in comedy, not drama, not action, not sci-fi, but comedy, is the guy who's up there acting his little heart out every freaking time, and it's beautiful. It's freaking beautiful.
To every single show, put Tom Cavanaugh in it, and the show.
So. Speaking of, thank you, Jack, for the call out. A belated happy birthday to the great Tom Cavanaugh. Birthday was yesterday. So.
Oh, nice.
Ah,
awesome.
Happy birthday. You are one of our favorites.
Oh, and you are all of our favorite Harrison Wells.
And if you are a lover of Harrison Wells and Tom Cavanaugh as well, and you love this video, make sure to hit that like button. And if you want to see more of our stuff, make sure to hit the subscribe button as well. Tasteless plug, I know. So this is such a hot mask, but I'm about to throw
a drumstick at Icy Zorro for saying that he hated HR. Like,
oh dude,
you're about to get a drumstick upside the head.
Yeah. Dude, we need Tom Cavanaugh on Arrow. We need Tom Cavanaugh on Supergirl.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Supergirl needs more than just Tom Cavanaugh, okay? It needs a lot of help.
It's a start.
I'm going to say, well, speaking of Supergirl, if we want to segue, this episode this week was one of the best that they've ever done. Going and focusing on Martian Manhunter, them going to Mars, dealing with the war, all of that, fantastic. They need to focus. And I'm not saying that it doesn't have a good blend and a good dynamic and a good balance. It does. But the Martian Manhunter is one of the best stories in that universe, and they're not doing anything with it. And they finally did, and it was fantastic. And I got to say, watching Melissa Benoist, the actress that plays Supergirl, she drives up in a big old pimpmobile on Mars. She's on Mars in a pimpmobile blasting Britney Spears to the white Martians, and it's just like, hey, what's going on? Did I turn wrong? You know, I'm looking for Pismo Beach or whatever she was doing, Albuquerque. And like, you know, is this the way to Albuquerque? It was hilarious. So hopefully it picks up from there and it just keeps going.
And in the chat room right now, they're currently talking about voting Icy Zorro off of the cast. HR. But who else is caught up on Supergirl?
Oh, come on, I can't be the only one.
I got through like five episodes of that show.
I can't. I like watching it laugh at it, but it's fun only in half the ways it intends to be. Mm-hmm. It's like if the 90s, you know, CW or whatever it was at that point.
Yeah.
Be careful. That was Buffy, man.
If the 90s WB with Buffy surgically removed had a baby with the script writing of The Flash, and it's so fascinatingly weird. It's so fascinatingly weird. Picture Dawson's Creek and like that. I have trouble looking away.
If you remove,
and honestly, Buffy,
then we have the Wayans brothers and Dawson's Creek. That's not
very... We're brothers.
You get my point. But I do have to say that I echo the Martian Manhunter. Even as much as the show's tonality is all over the place, I love that they're doing a good story with the Martian Manhunter, because yes. Again, as we to go to be to sing to continue singing the same song to go right back to the comics, that character's been around since the 60s. Mm-hmm. He has eight secret identities. One of them is a business magnate in Tokyo. One of them is a private eye in Detroit, I think it was. He's super strong. He can fly. He can turn invisible. It's laser vision. Can read your mind. He's a Martian. And most of you have never heard of him until Supergirl came around. That's because he keeps getting no writing for some reason. So thank you, Supergirl team.
No, thank you. Because Smallville talked about Martian Manhunter a lot. A ton.
Out of the entire run, un poquito. And Smallville, while I enjoyed Smallville, that was not great writing.
Well, if you want to talk about
it, was enjoyable.
It was enjoyable.
If you don't know who Martian Manhunter is, you want to talk about a great characterization of him. There was a good comic book series that took place talking about the early characters and heroes of DC, and it was called The New Frontier. Awesome. Worth checking out. Make sure you guys go to your local comic shop to check that out. I know Beacon has a place to recommend if you're up in his area.
Yeah, definitely check out Turbo Comics at Turbo Comics ID on Twitter. Those guys are awesome. If you are missing part of your collection, they will find it for you. And they love to sell collections, or find collections to complete, help people complete. So if you're a completionist...
he was also really good in this. Ask them about that.
Oh yes, absolutely. But yeah, I can't tell if Zorro is frozen now or if he really is staring intently.
I'm here.
Okay, now I hear him, but he's still not moving.
I'm moving on my screen. Okay.
Get out of my soul. Get out. Why ensure to protect me?
Well, so I know Zorro, you were catching up just to finish off before we go into Nerd Fight and where the results are and what the last Nerd Fight is going to be, because we're about 3/4 of the way through the show. You were catching up fully on Legends of Tomorrow, correctly?
Yeah, on Legends, mm-hmm. Yes. And yes. I think they're kind of settling into the season. I thought of the four shows we're talking about tonight, and granted I didn't see the Supergirl premiere, I thought Legends premiere was better than Flash. It was fun.
It was solid.
It paid off. The last season finale was nice. And really what's to come. I'm really digging.
I don't love what they did with Rip's character, turning him into an epic corporate douchebag, but
And I think that's going to be
fun.
I think that's going to be revealed that he's not actually in charge of the Time Bureau anymore. He may have started and built it, but he is definitely not in charge at this point. I like that they added a new person to the crew. I like that they just added the new girl. She looks like she's going to be a fun and interesting character to watch. I don't know what the hell they're doing with that crazy water lady. She seems like she's going to be a fun villain.
Yeah. And then what's the little nerdy dude's name? What's his name? Gary? Is it Gary?
Gary.
Yeah. I like Gary. I don't know why I like the dynamic between him and Sarah so much. But it's just, oh my God, we got to go to the future. We got a distress call from Gary. What do you mean? Gary, why are we going to go save that guy?
And in the third episode, there's the new girl, before she gets added to the crew, she says that they have to go break her brother out of prison. And freaking Rick goes, prison break.
I'm in.
Prison Break. I get it.
So good. It was so good. So this one's, this one is definitely, I ranked this one up there with Supernatural, actually, as the two best right now on the CW.
We're talking about superhero shows, not Supernatural.
No, I know, but I'm just saying in the context of everything, I'm enjoying those two the most out of all of them, and then followed by The Flash / Riverdale. So.
And I love the reference that's brought up inside the chat room by Jack, Gary the Stormtrooper.
Yeah. Which is, well, we haven't seen him hit anything yet. So, yeah, I think he's a Stormtrooper in disguise.
So it sounds like of the shows, the one that's come back the strongest superhero-wise has been Legends of Tomorrow.
Mm-hmm. So, which is surprising. It's a lot of people
it's silly tone.
Say it's the weakest.
I got to see Beacon's response. He's got the side.
No, no. I think Legends has been just the right mix of fun, but also still getting kind of the action. And they're keeping it. It's just got a good pace to it. It's got a really good pace to it. Ray's been super funny without mm-hmm. going over the top, because that's one of the problems with his character, the Ray Palmer character. Sometimes they go.
Yeah.
Over the top with the way he acts.
The eye patch and soul patch combo was a bit much.
Yeah.
But it was funny.
He's been great. And I like the dynamic that Rip's bringing with there's kind of this pull between what he's trying to do with the Time Bureau and then still this sense of, I don't know, like sense of belonging to the old team.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And wanting to get, you know, knowing that he still needs them, even though he won't admit it. So I kind of like that dynamic. And Sarah, of course, is Sarah, and she's total badass, and she's awesome.
She's a better captain than Rick was.
Oh, wow. And then, of course, having Mick is just, I love that guy.
Every time he points that flame gun at people, I'm like, okay, they're supposed to be superheroes. He's literally burning people to death.
Literally, yeah.
That's pretty harsh.
He's a begrudging superhero. Begrudging.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
very, very much so.
Let's see. So it seems like with the CW superhero shows, when they really start coming into their own is on the third season. That's what the Legends of Tomorrow is, and it's third.
The difference, though, too, is that Legends is a half season.
Okay.
So it's a shortened season, and so I think they do a better job. It's kind of like what we've talked about with iZombie before, mm-hmm. is when you have those shortened seasons, you don't have time to just throw in garbage. You really need to mm-hmm. put out a spectacular.
Got to be progressing the plot.
Yeah. And you need to put out your best every time, because you have such a small sample size when it comes to being renewed.
Right.
You don't have 23 episodes to throw away 7 or 8 of them with mm-hmm. BS.
Right.
You really need to stay focused. And I think that's what helps shows like Legends of Tomorrow, and what helps shows like iZombie, and specifically Legends, because not all those characters are new. A lot of them were introduced through Arrow or through Flash, and so they have a beginning somewhere else, and so they already have a fan following, and it's easy for fans to go watch it because they want to see, well, what's going on with, you know, what's going on with Sarah, what's going on with Ray, what's going on with Firestorm, so.
Yeah, well, and that's what I was saying. It's like outside of Supergirl, because it started over on CBS, even though it was by the same whatever. But a lot of people consider Arrow season 3 one of its best seasons. A lot of people, last season of Flash, they considered last season of Flash one of the better seasons, the best season of the show. So it's this weird thing that it's looking like with the CW DC shows, the third season is where they really hit their major stride.
Right.
You know,
so it's possible, but I'm looking forward to it. I will say, though, that they had the best line from the premiere episode when they're trying to figure out what anomaly to go back in time to go fix. And Ray is like, hey, I heard the Titanic had good food. I kind of want to go there. And Victor Stein or Victor Garber, excuse me, from the Titanic's like, no, absolutely not. I refuse to step foot on the Titanic. Whoever built that ship ought to be shot. Which is funny, because he played the character in Titanic that built the ship. So mm-hmm. that was a nice little Easter egg.
Irony.
Yeah, it seems like that show, among more than any of the other ones, throws a lot more Easter eggs towards
meta references in there. It's a lot of fun.
A lot more pop culture type of stuff to it. So to finish the night out so far, so if you guys have not watched the CW this season, looks sounds like pretty much if you're going to watch a superhero show, watch Legends. Flash is getting better, and come back and binge Arrow. So
sounds about right.
That's what I'm hearing. And then Supergirl, we're still in the air over. We can't figure out.
It's very silly. It is very silly.
If I run out of all the other stuff that I have to do, I'll get it.
There is so much better stuff on TV than to waste your time on that, in my opinion.
There is some great... This was just... We were just focusing on superhero CW shows right now, but there are two fantastic shows right now over on Fox that have to do with superheroes. Yes. The Gifted and Gotham are... Gotham is getting phenomenal.
So good.
You're finally starting to actually get Bruce into being Batman. Well, you know,
I don't think they should have gone that road, but we're not talking about Fox.
I know.
I like the James Corden show, so I'm fine with it being that.
And the Gifted, man, that thing is killing it every week.
Really good.
Every time that every time the son in that family goes to use his powers, I keep on thinking back to X2. When what's his name, the fire kid, is like, you remember all the terrible superheroes they tell you about? I'm the worst one.
Yeah, and we have Star Trek Discovery, which is just oh my god, so good. It is so good. This last episode was probably one of the better of the entire season so far. It's been fantastic. So there's better stuff to watch sometimes. So
yeah, CW it's got to keep their game stepping up, because they're gonna have viewership start going elsewhere, it seems like, at times. So
it's just a lot of really solid content out there right now.
Absolutely. So, and they're now talking about our different phrasings of things, as in me saying you are that we're in the air. We're up in the air over Supergirl. So yeah, and then I see Zorro. iZombie comes back.
Wait, I'm coming back?
No, sweet. iZombie comes back later. So that's another great.
I cannot wait for that. Mm.
And the last bit of CW shows that have to do with comic books that is worth checking out. I mean, honestly, it's not as bad as it seems at first. Is Riverdale? Riverdale is worth giving it a go if you're gonna. Over Supergirl, I would check out Riverdale, honestly. So
I mean, I like them both, but Riverdale is definitely more. I mean, I know it's weird, because I'm kind of against, I'm with Nudie Rudy on this, you know, I'm kind of over a little bit the teen drama, the high school drama, blah blah blah, but this is not anything about high school drama. I mean, it takes place in a high school, but it's very much adult themes, you know, the murder, the mystery, the
Skeet
dealing with grief. Yeah, you know, the parental issues, the, you know, all of it is very much relatable, and all of it is things that people struggle with in life. And so don't let the fact that this is a high school show turn you away from it, because it really is very compelling.
And so let's get into the nerd fight. So again, guys, go be gone.
I just wanted to say I'd rather watch the fireplace screensaver than Supergirl. So.
Ooh,
oh, harsh.
That's coming back on Google, on Netflix pretty soon, man.
I just want the flying toasters. That's what I want. I want those back, man.
Some old references to it. So, we're 50 minutes in. So let's move along. If you guys are enjoying these episodes and you don't want to have to try and watch us on YouTube because we're freezing up and you can't see us sometimes, like Mr. Zorro is there. Check us out on Stitcher, on podcast.com, and on iTunes. Definitely go over there, subscribe, write a review on us so other people can find it. It'll make it easier for them. And we're not fully updated, but if you want to catch any of our previous podcasts, check that out. But moving on, we had our Nerd Fight poll, which was the best horror film franchise. And I think there's a pretty evident winner inside this one this
week.
That's
all good.
So, Which she's perfectly happy with, because that means I get to write the article.
I think we had a three-way tie, though, three or four-way tie for second place. So that was kind of cool.
Yeah. So now, granted, I had the first, I chose the first one last week, and I thought people would put up stuff that would be a lot more competitive, but.
So did I. The second most famous clause in sci-fi-dom next to Wolverine. Mm-hmm. And Danny Glover and Arnold Schwarzenegger and Topher Grace and Lawrence Fishburne and Alien Punching. Where did we go wrong? How could we have gone wrong? How?
Continue, please. Things, they happen. No.
And Jack says in the chat room that if you guys do go and subscribe to iTunes, Stitcher, and podcast.com for the podcast, he will put new podcasts up over there of these casts so that you can stay up to date with them. You guys have to go subscribe, and you have to write reviews and tell people about it and stuff. So it's a lot of work, and we thank Jack Malice for doing all that stuff. So you should write in the comments below. Thank you, Jack.
I know there might be two of you in the audience who would be very interested in more podcasts. Chop, chop.
So, and now they're talking about subscription paying for episodes. That'll be another fun topic at another day. But yeah, our choices for the best horror franchise was Predator, Alien, Scream, Psycho, The Howling, and Nightmare on Elm Street. I laughed at the choice of The Howling, and it turns out The Howling came in number two. So somebody voted
twice in the last few hours then.
someone may have, because I didn't remember seeing that up there.
Well, in last place was Predator, and the only reason I can say is I don't think it's considered enough of a horror franchise style. It's more just sci-fi action type of.
Yeah.
You know, it's I understand the blood and guts and gore, you know, but.
Well, everybody understands the point, but I have to make one side one. Predator, Aliens, Scream, Psycho, The Howling is kind of a great slam poetry right there.
I am really surprised that nobody took Friday the 13th when we did our cast on Friday the 13th.
So. I was tempted, but I thought that'd be easy mode. Apparently Nightmare on Elm Street was easy mode. Dang
it. Yeah, but that is my favorite of the horror of the main horror franchises, so that's the reason behind it.
It is pretty cool.
Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
If you can't see the chat later because you weren't here live, they want you to write in the comments how much better this cast looks with me in a mask.
No. So,
yeah.
Oh.
You've been working on that beard. You've been working on your beard, and then you just cover it up with a mask.
I get the beard.
Now that just looks weird.
Look at you guys, the beard right there. Just beard.
I just want you to pull the mask off and just be totally scarred.
Dead beard.
Dead beard. That's pockets.
Yeah. So next to last was Aliens with 4 votes. Then we had Scream with 10 votes. Which Scream did put up a pretty good fight for a while.
It was second until like 2 hours ago.
I know.
I guess since Skeet Ulrich went over to Riverdale, people don't want to vote for. Scream it out that much. Skeet. And then we had Psycho with 10 votes as well. So third place tied. And Howling just beat him out with 11 votes.
Dang.
Psycho's about to be in second place because I've already got someone else to vote. And I'm about to vote right now. So it's about to be at 12 votes because it doesn't belong below the Howling or Scream.
It doesn't belong on the list. It's not a franchise. I
really don't care.
Once again, we talked about this. There was
We're trying to forget.
I allowed it.
So, they actually made a sequel to Psycho. So, in the 80s.
Yeah, it's a good.
It was terrible.
I'm trying to forget about that sequel. But the other things that spawned.
Three to be a franchise.
Yeah, the other things that spawned are fantastic.
So. The show is good. The show is good.
And this will be a great nerd fight for later, but Jack in the chat said he wanted Monster Squad, but it's not a franchise. I think doing a best B-horror film will be a great nerd fight.
We've just gone straight best horror film. Did you guys talk about House of a Thousand Corpses at all?
No.
Dude, we should have, though.
That's why we need you on the cast.
Okay. Well, I wasn't
here. Beacon saw Sid Haig, who plays Captain Spaulding, and got so excited at the convention we were at. Just
because nobody was there talking to him, and we were walking around. I'm like, how the hell is nobody talking to you right now? And we went over there and chatted with him. I don't remember. It was like 20 minutes, 30 minutes, something like that. Mm-hmm. Got pictures, autographs to just hang out.
The only part I liked to that movie was him as the movie menu. That was amazing.
Yes.
That was amazing.
And Jack's already throwing his hat saying that the best B-horror film ever, Evil Dead.
No, I have to go with Army of Darkness.
You know what? I have to apologize. Why the hell do we not choose Evil Dead as a franchise for
That's
best horror?
That's a fair point.
Yeah. How the heck did we drop the ball? You know what? Everybody watching,
that's what we call it.
Hashtag epic fail.
Epic
fail. Dear audience, we're sorry. We're so sorry.
Funny? Got real ago.
I bet you if you put it on right now, it might win.
Yeah. By midnight tonight? Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, so, but yeah.
It's easy to forget with Army of Darkness being, you know, somewhat corny. How truly friggin' scary the original too.
The original was a full-on horror film, and
absolutely. And the remake was even
pretty.
To do the
quality that they did with the budget they had, and my wife made me turn it off the second that the pencil got shoved into the foot. She's like, "I'm out. That's it. I'm done. I'm not watching it anymore."
That's fair. That's fair.
But unfortunately, in this fight, it was Nightmare on Elm Street, which I think Evil Dead would have actually put a pretty good running and probably would have won.
Pretty sure they would have curb stomped Nightmare.
Good thing to know for the future. But this nerd fight that we're going to go into for the next 2 weeks is going to be the best CW show in the current season right now. Because that's what we were talking about with CW. So. This is going to be a fun one. I am bowing out of this one because I haven't watched any CW shows.
Are we even doing this as a fight or just a list?
We're just going to do it.
Gonna be a fight. I don't know. Everyone gets a pick
list,
one.
Yeah. We're just going to do a straight list. It's just going to be a superhero. So, guys, go out, make sure that you vote on a regular basis and get your tweets out there for the shows that you want to see win. It's going to be The Flash, Arrow.
Dude, you can't limit it to just superheroes, man. That is not fair, ma'am.
What?
Because they're not the best ones on the CW right now, and I'm sorry. And I mean that sincerely, but you have to put Riverdale and you have to put Supernatural on there because they're kicking booty on the other shows.
I agree.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, then it has to be a nerd fight.
Then it's got to be a nerd fight.
No.
Absolutely.
Well, just the six.
Yeah, there's only been six. Well, you've got Supernatural, Flash,
Arrow, Legend, Riverdale, and Supergirl.
No, seven.
We can leave Supergirl off the list if you guys want.
No, Crazy Ex-Girlfriend is far one of the most popular shows on that.
Heads up, seven up.
There you go, Misty. You can pick your girl Rachel Bloom. Crazy Ex Girlfriend.
She's gonna be on Simpsons now, man. Simpsons.
I love her. She's fantastic. You gotta represent.
I just still love that the CW is comprised of comic book, Supernatural, Crazy Ex Girlfriend.
But you know what? Crazy Ex Girlfriend. She came from YouTube to see that type of success is amazing to see somebody do that stuff. So
she's fantastic.
I wish we were as creative with singing and stuff like that, but we're not. We just are talking heads that like to talk about nerd things.
I will stop.
But welcome, Ken, popping in at the end. as we're getting ready to head out of here. So we'll talk about where to follow everybody.
Ken will show you the way out, people. Please fly out in orderly fashion.
Zoro, since you've been having the most computer problems today, we may need you at any moment.
Get me
where
out of
can
here,
we quick. Follow you?
At IcyZoro on Twitter and Instagram.
Awesome. Superhoovian Freak, where can we follow you?
Come follow me on Twitter at Superhoovian Nut. Join the party. It's always a good time. Always lots of stuff happening over there.
Igor.
Destiny 2 for your Malice Corp and Nathan Fillion fixes. Be there.
So once again, go to malice-corp.com. The forums there have the Destiny 2 forums so that you can find links to the clan on Destiny 2 to play with Igor and join the Malice Corp clan and have fun playing video games together. As well, if you're in the San Diego area, make sure that you check out Battle Mage, a fantastic brewing company that is all things nerd as well. And Beacon, where can we follow you?
Beacon underscore Malice Corp. Yeah, Beacon underscore Malice Corp on Twitter. I had to think about it.
I love that you had to think about it. Also,
yeah, you can follow Malice the cast Fish. At Malice. Yeah. Follow the cast at Malice Cast, at Malice Cast, so.
Yes, all links to Twitter are below for everybody on the cast. Our producer, Jack Malice, you can follow on Twitter at Jack Malice as well. You can follow me at Mest underscore Malice Corp. We are always looking for people that want to be a part of the team, want to write articles and talk about things nerdy. So if you're somebody that wants to be a part of that, make sure to send us an email at mest.5150@yahoo.com. Ken, I know you want to be a part of it, so I will reach out to you soon to find out how we get you going to try and write some articles and stuff like that. Next week is the first week of November, so that means great moments in nerd history, as always. So we will see you guys next week to talk about some of the great moments, and thank you for coming along, and keep nerding on.
Stay nerdy out there.
Peace.
Carry
Peace
on.
Out.